Okay, good afternoon. This is Barbara Mason. I represent the Boeing Company on the Orange County Workforce Development Board. This is the one-stop committee. I'm calling the meeting to order. Desiree, I don't know if you're going to share the agenda at all.
Yes, we have. You want me to share it now or once we, after the roll call and the pledge?
That would be fine. So, why don't we do, is it roll call next?
It's pledge, then roll call.
Okay, pledge. And then also remind everyone this meeting is recorded. Just a reminder, the meeting is recorded. Okay, so the pledge. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. Thank you. We'll move on to the roll call.
Rob Claudio. Steve Curiel.
Here.
Mike Daniel.
Here.
Chris Horton.
Here.
Barbara Mason.
Here.
Gary Mackin. Carlos Oregon.
Here.
Michael Ruin. And Brinell Toomer Bias. And we do have quorum, Chair.
Terrific. Thank you. At this time, we'll open it up to the public for public comments. Comments have to be limited to 3 minutes and they must relate to the items on the agenda.
We did not receive any requests to speak in advance. If there are members of the public this afternoon who would like to address the committee, please use the hand raise icon or press star 9 and I will unmute you. And I'm seeing none, Chair.
Okay, thank you. So we will close the public comments and we'll move into the action items. And I had mentioned to Karma at the beginning of the meeting, I think as a committee, we've spent a lot of time on the, and Steve, you're new to it, but those on the committee, we've spent a lot of time, sometimes 45 minutes to an hour in the past on just the first few information items, digging into the data. It's good, healthy discussions, but then we've seemed to run out of time getting through the rest of the agenda. So we're gonna make a deliberate effort this time to spend more time on the action items and have more executive summaries for some of those informational items. Okay, with that, Karma, would your team like to present the action items?
Yes, the first action item is the Orange County American Job Center California Comprehensive Affiliate and Specialized Certification. As you may recall, and Steve, you're new, every 2 years we're required to certify our one-stop centers and our affiliate locations. And part of that process is where board members go out and evaluate how well our services are being delivered, what the facilities are like, and then opportunities for improvement. What happens next is that that report is sent up to the state and then kept on record for DOL. But with it, we're supposed to submit our items for improvement, our areas for improvement, and how the one-stop operator will help facilitate those areas for improvement. So the one-stop operator was assigned to evaluating all of the feedback received from that Hallmarks of Excellence review and provide a set of action items or steps or procedures in order to bring the standard level up. Our goal is to continuously improve how we provide services and how we engage with the community and how we support partners. And so with that said, we've asked the operator staff to join us today on the call to provide us their report out on the continuous improvement plans that they've developed in response to what we provided to them. So with that said, can we go ahead and promote up, let's see, we have from America Works, Brandon. Let's see if we can promote Brandon up.
Yes, I'm here. Let me get my camera up and running, sorry.
Thank you. And then Brandon, I believe is Cal with you or someone else from your agency?
Yep. Kyle is just an observer. So sorry, let me Let me close my window. I totally forgot that I have that open.
Well, he's closing that. Yeah, but hey, Karma, good to see you again. I haven't seen you in a handful of months since implementing this program, but just on his support for Brandon, and I'll provide any clarification or value add where I can.
Thank you. And so that the board members can kind of quickly go through this, because this agenda packet is a lot. Let's get started on the first area. So we start on the very first one, the action items is on page 7, which is the Garden Grove Center. There we go. And then Brandon, if you want to go ahead and report out the plan for the Garden Grove. So there was the opportunities we addressed, and then AmericaWorks developed the continuous improvement plan.
Yes. So what we've done, I hope you don't mind, what we've done is we tried to combine some of the similar plans that we had amongst all four. So we kind of wanted to bring those out that way to kind of speed up the process for everybody. So I hope you guys don't mind that we did that, just because we didn't want to take up everybody's time with a 300-page agenda. So with the continuous improvement opportunities, we had they wanted the operator to train staff and partners and services available within the one-stop system and not limit to each service provider's program on a less than quarterly basis. Sign-in sheet be provided, shared with the County of Orange representatives to verify training was completed. They wanted to ensure that the AJCC staff and partners are effectively using the CalJobs referral process and follow-ups to ensure that services have been provided where necessary, to develop and ensure that flyers listing all partner services are available at the AJCC for distribution and post around the center, improve marketing and outreach methods, especially post-pandemic, and continue to establish partnerships in the community and have partners express concern over use of survey tool, SurveyMonkey.
Brandon, I just want to make sure, so this is a Brown Act meeting. I want to see, do we have what you're reading? Because we should have what you're reading. So is there a page in this packet that we can look at together to support what you're reading off, or is it something you wrote up for yourself?
I am so sorry. I was reading indicator number 2. I apologize so much for that. I am so sorry. I skipped over. I'm sorry. I double-sided out my stuff. I apologize for that.
No problem. I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
We are on the same page. I am so sorry. The AJCC is located in an area that is accessible to customers near freeways and public transportation. There is limited signage outside the building, which makes it difficult to identify the facility as an AJCC. That was the first point. The second was, it was unknown whether the local equal opportunity officer periodically reviews the AJCC's policies, procedures, and facility for accessibility and equal opportunity, and then provides recommendations and staff training where needed. Although the staff provide good customer service and have participated in county assigned training, the AJCC staff need to be trained on the principles of universal and customer centered design. Additional training has been recommended for operator and staff, including conflict resolution and emotional intelligence. The first point that this kind of goes across all boards for all sites is that the county has acquired new signage that displays the OC Workforce Solutions logo and name for the public to view on the building facade by the end of fall 2022. That's the first point we wanted. We want to update the EO posters on walls by September 30th of 2022. The county employment opportunity officer, Nikia Thierry, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, we wanted to review the EO policies with the operator on an annual basis, and the operator will relay information to the one-stop staff within one quarter of receiving information from the EO officer. A sign-in sheet will be provided and shared with the County of Orange representatives to verify the training was completed for this. We want the partners to continue to use the CalJobs referral process, and follow-up spot checks on this process will be conducted by one-stop staff, and the results will be made available to the board on a quarterly basis. And the operator will work on developing a resource directory of services of other agencies and community-based organizations by the end of the first quarter of 2023. Specifically for the Garden Grove shop, we also, operator will conduct quarterly training with the staff on customer service and conflict resolution. The center will continue to remain open throughout the pandemic. However, the AJCC will continue to follow all COVID-19 protocols, including around-the-clock cleaning slash wiping down of communal equipment, and have electrostatic spraying done throughout the building when a positive case has been reported. Adding of television monitors to the lobby waiting room to display upcoming hiring events, job listings, and information by the end of fall 2022. A comprehensive outreach plan will be created with partners by the end of the fourth quarter of 2022 as well. So those are specifically for the Garden Grove one-stop site. Are we ready to go on to number two?
So first step is for the board to be reviewing this with you. And then I just need them to say that this meets our standards and we move on to the next one. Sure. So for the Garden Grove, I want to just ensure that as we hear this and see what the continuous improvement opportunities were, his plan on how he plans to improve them. I just want to make sure that you guys are on top of, or not on top of, but are aware that that's the goal for today's conversation, is to look at what we asked him to do and then look at their solution to the challenges we saw. Are we okay? Are there any questions or concerns about this one before we move to the next one? None?
No.
Okay. Barbara?
Hey, Carmen, I have a quick question. At one of our last meetings, is this to redo that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So they presented the last meeting and we weren't satisfied with what we heard. And so we asked them to go back and redraft, and this is their redraft of it.
Perfect. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
My only comment would be, we keep talking about more virtual engagement. And so a lot of this looks like you have to be in the center to see it, which is important. But is there a way maybe on the website or, are we leaving that part out?
Barbara, we left that part out because we do already have trainings that are offered face-to-face and virtual in the One-Stop Center. So when you guys went out, you didn't have a problem with how they were offering both, and they're continuing to offer both.
Okay.
So the virtual is still available, and I guess moving forward, we'll take a look at what the virtual offering is and make sure that we're still okay with that. But at the time, I think that you guys didn't have any challenges with how they were offering both.
No. In fact, our records have shown in our conversations and the data, there's a desire for more virtual.
Okay. All right. Are there any questions? If not, we're going to move on to the next center that we've asked for feedback on.
Okay, we can move on.
Okay, so we're going to skip down to page Desiree. Let's see. There's a lot of pages. skip to page 16, Desiree. All right. You know, there's something wrong with okay, so this is about, okay. Yes, okay. So there's a continuous improvement opportunity, and I think the next page has, well, okay, there's something missing. So there's, okay, there's a plan.
So we were skipping to indicator number four?
Or the three.
Wait a minute, I'm missing something. So I missed a page.
We did indicator number one. So were we going in order?
Yeah, no, we need to go in order. I think that this, because I'm trying to skip around, just get to the indicator page. Let me see, I missed one.
Page,
you're right.
Page nine.
Page nine, yes, I'm sorry.
There we go. Okay, would you like me to continue or?
Yes, please. Desiree, can you scroll down a little bit?
And I apologize again for repeating these, but the opportunities to recap again for operator trained staff on all partners and services available within the one-stop system and not limited to each service provider's program on a less than quarterly basis. A sign-in sheet will be provided and shared with County of Orange representatives to verify training was completed. Ensure that AJCC staff and partners are effectively using the CalJobs referral process and follow-ups to ensure the services have been provided where necessary. develop and ensure the flyers listing all partner services are available to, at the AJCC for distribution and posted around the center. Improve marketing and outreach methods, especially post-pandemic, and continue to establish partnerships in the community. And partners expressed concern over the use of survey tool SurveyMonkey. The ones that were kind of universal across all four sites were the operator that we wanted for our plan was that the operator will train all partners on services available within the one-stop system on a no less than a quarterly basis and will provide sign-in sheets to the board on all trainings completed. The operator will train all partners on eligibility available within the one-stop system on a no less than a quarterly basis and will provide sign-in sheets to the board on all trainings to be completed. The operator will work on developing a resource directory of services of other agencies and community-based organizations for the, by the first quarter of 2023. And the operator will provide the county with alternative survey options by the end of 2022. Specifically for Garden Grove, the operator continues to receive county developed, controlled, and issued flyers. The operator ensures that said flyers are posted in the center as well as shared with partners and available for distribution to the clientele. As I kind of pointed out within the last one about adding TV signage, the hope is that we can actually add those as a revolving flyers to kind of be done to digitally, one, digitally done, and two, reduce paper waste. And the last one is the county controls all aspects of marketing methods, but we will assist to make sure that these marketing methods are productive and that the operator is aware of these methods and can promote within to all the partners.
How will you validate that they're productive?
What do you mean?
You're saying the county controls the marketing. And you will assist to make sure the marketing methods are productive.
By meaning productive, meaning that we are actively communicating that with the clientele, specifically clientele who are not involved in the WIA programs, the ones who are just walking in, checking, making sure that they're aware of everything that we do here, being active participants and making sure that anybody who comes into the stops know what we offer, what we have coming up, so that we are actively helping with the marketing of the county by talking about things like our job club or other hiring events, letting them know actively what it is and not just letting them wait to see the signage up by actively engaging with them.
Barbara, we could as well in some of the satisfaction surveys build in some questioning that's linked to that level of understanding.
That's what I was thinking.
Of the marketing, right? Yeah. So we know what the message
to test is. To test and validate it.
Yeah, exactly. So we could kind of use that as a comparable and build that in, or rather integrate it into the client surveys.
Because then you'll see, did they read it? Did you right. hand them a flyer? Did they actually read the flyer that they wear? It's like when you do training, you know, exactly. validate, did they absorb the information?
Right.
And then I can't remember from the last meeting, is it necessary or accurate, I guess, around the county controls all aspect of marketing? I know that's something we talked about last time. So I don't know if the wording should be more so that just the operator will partner with the county around, you know, to just kind of, I would recommend maybe reframing that sentence that they'll just work collaboratively, work in part, I don't know, but just around marketing, I might recommend that change. And then on the last bullet point, I think it should say operator will provide the county. I think there's a typo for the last bullet point under the, on page 10.
Yeah.
At the very top.
Are there any other questions or concerns? Are we ready to move forward? Okay, so then we're going to skip to 13, which is item 3, indicator 3.
Yes. The improvement opportunities that were presented were the AJC staff need to cross-train in partner eligibility and services and could also benefit from customer-centered design training. This training should be expected at a minimum annually. And it is obvious that COVID-19 disrupted a lot of services as we begin to transition back to some normalcy post-pandemic. AJCC staff need to work on improving their outreach, including marketing, to align their service delivery with partners. The improvement plan that we added here was AJCC staff will continue to train in partner eligibility and services. County controls all aspects of the marketing. I know we had a problem with that wordage, but we can work on that as well. But quarterly meetings with the operator would be beneficial to acknowledge the ongoing services and limitations of the AJCC and to make sure that any marketing campaigns being pushed reflect the services or if the limitations can be rectified to ensure that all operations are performing adequately. The operator will emphasize on trainings for clientele that is focused on returning to work in a post-pandemic environment, and the operator will train on all partners on eligibility on a no less than a quarterly basis and will provide sign-in sheets to the board on all trainings completed.
Do you mind if I make a comment, Barbara?
No, please do.
On the bullet number two, so part of the challenge when someone comes into the one-stop center and they're greeted at the front desk, that person at the front desk is supposed to engage with the customer and have a dialogue with them, find out why they're there, and how can I help you, and have you heard about this service or this program? That's a part of the outreach. So outreach isn't just the collateral, the paper collateral. It's also your engagement with the individual as they come into the center and the relationship you build with them so that they can gain your trust and believe or understand that you have their best interests at heart. And so any program or service you refer them to will lead them to where they're trying to go. So I caution, if we're going to send this up to EDD and DOL, saying limitations, like making comments about limitations, making comments about marketing campaigns, because it's not necessarily the marketing campaign. It's also outreaches, including your engagement with the actual job seekers, whether it's in the resource room, whether it's at the front desk, whether it's when you provide training to them. Every point of touch that you have with that client is an opportunity for outreach.
I agree.
So that you might want to reword that before we submit that to the state.
That's fine. We can reword that. That's fine. We weren't trying to say anything derogatory with limitations. We were basically saying that we will acknowledge when there are limitations and make sure that we rectify them as soon as possible, because obviously there's always things that are unforeseen. We just want to make sure that you have the comfort that whenever there is a problem, we will address it and we will make sure that it gets rectified as soon as possible.
Right, I just don't want you to lose track of outreach is not paper outreach for the AJC, the operator. That outreach is actually you and all your staff and your engagement with the customers that you see every day that walk past you, that you engage with, whether it's in the training class, the resource room, or the front desk, or when you send them over to another service provider. You are part of our outreach strategy.
Yes, of course.
I might also recommend, because training is a constant theme of kind of the recommendations and then how you're responding back, some way to frame in not only that you are providing trainings, but there's also a built-in process around knowing whether the information hits and sticks and that you are seeing changes with staff behavior and services. I think that's going to be really important, because otherwise to me, it just reads more of the same. And then just another thing I noticed, clientele, I think it's spelled wrong.
Okay.
And I would add two areas. One, that second bullet, it's not clear to me. Are you saying that the county owns and controls the marketing and you're a vendor, a provider? Are you saying that you would be getting their pre-approval before going out on a quarterly basis, or on a quarterly basis, you're going to look at what's been done to verify if it's within the swim lanes?
I think it has to be both. I think it has to be not only do we need their approval before we say anything that's unsanctioned, because we don't want to make promises that we can't keep.
Right.
Or be held accountable when we make, you know, like I said, make promises we can't keep. But also at the same time, yeah, it is about making sure that we are
validating your
equal partners.
It just, that second bullet is confusing. And I would also look for more like committal language. It says it would be beneficial to it. Like, are you going to meet on a quarterly basis or not?
I mean, yes, we plan to. I can work on the verbiage of this.
Okay. So it doesn't look like it's like something you might aspire to try to do, but are you committing? You're going to have quarterly meetings.
Sorry, I'm just making a note here because I want to make
understand
sure
the way it says, but quarterly meetings with the operator would be beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's acknowledged. It is beneficial. You should commit to that.
Okay. I'll make sure that the verbiage is less Yeah, it basically shows a hard, firm commitment and not just a, oh, well, this is a possibility kind of thing. I understand, yes.
Because those things have a way of just sliding out, not happening.
Yes.
Are we ready to move forward?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's skip to page 16, Desiree.
Okay, so the opportunities that were provided that were presented to us were to provide staff ongoing training on regional sector career pathways to keep knowledge current. The AJCC offers training and releases a monthly calendar. However, this needs to be better communicated and shared with all one-stop system partners and AJCCs. AJCC needs to engage with the business solutions team to identify potential OJTs beneficial for customers. Note to that was, it appears that the operator is disconnected from this area and is often led by service providers. The AJCC can also benefit from developing and maintaining a resource directory of services available through other agencies and community-based organizations. The ones that we had in common with all four sites were that the operator will train all partners on regional economy, labor market conditions, business talent supply chains, and the needs of high growth sectors and high road employers on a no less than a quarterly basis, and will provide sign-in sheets to the board on all trainings completed. The operator suggests a comprehensive business solutions plan be developed by the county by the end of 2022.
Brandon, where is that on the sheet? Because I don't see that.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That part is the last, the one I just said was the last bullet point. I'm sorry, the operators will train partners. I probably combined that from another one that actually was not on this one, but it was similar with all the other ones.
Brandon,
I've lost my place.
Yeah, so we're all on the same page. This is a Brown Act meeting. This committee has got to vote on this moving up to the next committee and then to the full board, right? And so what you're presenting to them should be exactly what you have in writing that goes up to the different levels, because today the point is for this committee to say, yes, Karma, move it up to the executive committee, and then for the executive committee to take a look at it and vote to move it up to the full board. If what you're saying does not align with what's in writing, we can't move forward.
Okay, I apologize for that. Then let me just read exactly what's there. I was trying to speed everything up so I didn't waste everybody's time. So let me just go back to it. So since the county controls all business solutions outreach, the operator should be involved with business solutions outreach. So basically, getting us involved with them. Tape testing is now being handled by the operator. Staff will be fully trained on administering and scoring the tape tests by September 30th. Sign-in sheets of the training will be provided to the board. The operator will work with the county to better market the monthly calendar by October 31st of 2022. And the operator suggests a comprehensive business solutions plan be developed by the county by the end of 2022.
Okay. Can I?
So the first bullet, it doesn't feel like a plan. These feel like notional concepts, like the operator should be involved with the business solutions outreach. What does that mean?
Well, since business solutions is being controlled by the county, we want to be involved so that we can obviously help understand what it is exactly that the county wants, what the county needs. Like I said, we want to make sure that whatever we are providing to the public here is what the county wants. So we want
to understand. It just feels like in a plan, it should be a division of the responsibilities clearly annotated. Who has the ball in different levels. So obviously, the first sentence is fine. The county controls all business solutions outreach. Got that. It's the second one. The operator should be involved with business solutions outreach. What does that mean? What is the plan? What portion of it are you responsible for? That doesn't feel like a plan.
I believe.
Clarity to what they're probably getting to? So as you know, Barbara, we created a business solutions unit. The business solution unit is responsible for going out, developing relationships with the businesses to create incentives, to help with hiring events, to help with layoff aversion, essentially anything that a business needs from beginning to end, our business solution unit handles that. When people come into the one-stop center is not supposed to be just for job seekers. It's also supposed to be for businesses, meaning that a business should be able to come into the job center and provide or receive access to resources too. Right now, if a business comes into the job center, what we ask them to do or what they are supposed to do is redirect them to our business solutions unit. In the future, when we get a bigger facility, we will have a department on site at the One Stop Center to engage with businesses directly, right? So I don't understand his answer, but I literally don't understand the answer in terms of you being a part of our outreach, because our outreach has nothing to do with you engaging with businesses when they come into the center. What we want you to do is when they call in or when they come into the center, to refer them to our business solutions unit. We're not asking you to do the work. Just like if they came into the One Stop Center and needed Title I Career Services, you don't do that. You send them over to the Title I Career Service provider to do the work. So I'm not really sure why this answer says that, because you're not responsible for doing any business development. You wouldn't do an OJT for a business. Now, when a person comes in, when they come into the One Stop Center, maybe they want to use a resource room or they want to go to SCORE classes or meet with SBDC, you can facilitate setting up that space for them to do that. But that's the gist of where your role as the operator is. It's not supposed to be where you're developing OJTs. When they're reaching out to you and saying, hey, I need access to the micro business grant, or I need access to, I have a warrant or a layoff aversion. Your role is to support us by sending them over to our business solutions unit to allow them to handle that interaction.
I probably
what does the contract say? Doesn't the contract define?
It does.
And when you bid on it, it should define what all this is.
It does. It's in writing what he's supposed to do. So I think your answer is a little off, Brandon.
I believe it is. I believe what I was probably trying to say was probably more along the lines of more or less just being a supportive aspect to the business solutions, not so much partaking in it or actively getting the business solutions at all. It was more or less just being supportive of you guys in your actions, making sure that if businesses are coming in, that we're giving them to you. I can rework that one, because I don't think it's clear on what my intention was. My intention was never to say that we were personally handling it, in lieu of the county. It was more or less that we were going to
be. It doesn't feel like you should have to reinvent the wheel here. Shouldn't the language from the contract, your contract from the county, provide language here?
I would have to look that part up and make sure that the verbiage is correct, so that we are not,
again, we want it to be aligned. It should all be aligned.
The other thing, Brandon, you didn't address, but what you need to, is the very first one. It says ongoing training on regional sector career pathways to keep knowledge and current. So career pathways are basically what are the labor market data, information, and trends in terms of job creations and availability. So say somebody came into the front desk and maybe there was a conversation about labor market information. How do I find that? Where do I access that? The good news is we've developed that webpage. So on the OC Workforce Solutions website, we now have the labor market information page, which makes it easy for your staff to find that information. You probably want to put that as part of your answer, because you actually have a page on the website dedicated for you and your staff to help people with labor market data or career sector pathways.
Okay, we can add that.
And Chris, I think Chris, you wanted to make a comment.
Oh, no, I'm good. You guys already went over it. Okay. Thanks.
Any other comments from the committee?
If I could be so bold to ask about the tape testing, that second bullet under the plan kind of comes up. I'm trying to connect it to the opportunities and take it even one step further. That TAPE test is one I'm familiar with, but most of the adult education providers are using an assessment called CASAS. And so it'd be nice if that were an opportunity we could unite and be on the same page, because the scoring is a little bit different. It gets you to the same kind of result, but I know we'll have a person there. We have a person there at the One Stop that's familiar with CASAS testing. She's never heard of TAPE, but I know it's one that's out there as an approved test.
Steve, can I chime in? Just explain it to you. So we set up our One Stop operator different than most workforce boards across California. What we did is we set it up where the operator can work with anyone, whether you are a U.S. citizen or not. The operator can give you basic training, access to resources, and one of the resources they make available is TAPE testing. CASA is available, but that's on the WIOA actual enrolled side. The operator is anyone. So any of our partners can benefit from any of the resources made available from the operator. Does that make sense? So for example, you don't have to roll WIOA now in order for you to get resume writing, interviewing techniques, LinkedIn learning, any of the classes offered by the operator is available to anyone in Orange County, no matter who you are, whether you're WIOA eligible or not. However, when you get to the WIOA side, then that's when we use the other assessments that like CASA, and it's all based on what's best suited for that client and the pathway we're trying to get them to. We went back and forth with EDD on what assessments to use. And so TAPE was one of those universal assessments to use, and CASA was the second. So they can either offer TAPE or CASA on the WIOA side. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I do understand that. I'm just, the issue is, or the concern is, typically when we test a student, if you can imagine an adult learner, and I don't know how many you get it there, but we're still becoming familiar, I'm not sure how many attend, but someone who's struggling, maybe learning English or doesn't have a high school diploma, when we welcome them into our school, and I would imagine even into the one-stop, and you present them with a test. If you can imagine that student, the fear that kicks in, I'm not a good student, I don't like tests. And so what we have in this, in these situations, when we try to minimize this, is try to give them one test and not multiple tests. And that was where I was kind of going, is if there's a way, because you can use CASAS, and we could adopt TAPE, but that's actually, we can't adopt TAPE because the states on the academic side has adopted CASAS.
Right.
So just looking for an opportunity to see if we can limit it to, because if you give them the TAPE and then they come to us, then we have to give them CASAS and then we test them again.
Yeah. So unfortunately, you're going to learn that we have more than one. So we have the ACT work keys, and then we have TAPE, and then we have CASA, or we have BEST. It depends on that person and what test is best suited for that individual. Because remember, we have multiple different barriers that we're trying to assess. So I hear you clearly. Unfortunately, I don't know if we're going to get around that, especially not today. But for the operator, he's contracted to provide TAPE and ACT work keys. But for the other providers, it may be something different.
Gotcha. Okay. And what was the point of that, by the way? So my first point, what was the point of that bullet?
This was a skill development. So since now that we are actually taking it over, before it was being handled by our provider MCS, but now that it is a universal service that is being offered at the one-stop outside of anybody part of the WIA program, it is now being handled by the operator. So I myself was certified with it so that I can do it. I'm actually training my staff as well so that they can schedule people for it, get them set up, and then do the proctoring and getting the scores to provide to the counselors when it is completed.
And that's going to help which bullet, which opportunity? I'm just trying to connect it to the
For skill development.
Okay.
So basically, the way I viewed this, as this was about skill development, industry recognized credentials. So seeing the TAPE testing was in line with skill development and getting people better assessments. I threw it in there as something that we are currently actively working on. We had just started taking the TAPE testing when I was working on this, and wanted to throw in the fact that we are training our staff on it so that it is a service that we are offering to better help with skills development of the clientele.
For bullet one, for the career pathways.
I'm sorry, what?
Development under skills path, under career pathways.
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
It's connecting back to bullet one, providing staff ongoing training for on regional sector career pathways.
Yes.
It's part of that overall goal, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Are there any more questions or concerns about this item? I think, Brandon, this is definitely gonna need to be cleaned up before we move on to the next committee. All right, if no questions, and we'll go to the next indicator item. That's gonna be indicator 5 on page 20.
So the opportunities that were presented were ongoing training to staff on regional economy, labor market conditions, business, talent supply chains, and the needs of high growth sectors and high road employers. Well, to that, staff can also benefit from training on how to actively promote targeted sector opportunities and high demand occupations at all AJCC customers. Implement a defined strategy to regularly seek and capture employer advice in the design and delivery of on-demand-driven services for job seekers. Bullet to that, currently a survey is sent out to businesses by the ACWDB, but there is no evidence that the results are shared with the AJCC. For our improvement opportunity, obviously this should have been planned. That will be corrected. I'm sorry. I corrected on my version, but the one that got sent out, it still says opportunities. Not all staff members have been trained in ONET or iTrain. So operator requests that all staff be trained on this by the end of 2022. Operator will provide sign-in sheets to the board. So I'm going to actually correct that verbiage to operator will have staff trained by the end of 2022. So make it definitive that we are doing that. The operator will train all partners on regional economy, labor market conditions, business talent supply chains, and the needs of high growth sectors and high road employers on a no less than a quarterly basis, and will provide sign-in sheets to the board on all trainings completed. The operator will train all staff on how to actively promote targeted sector opportunities and high demand occupations for all AJCC customers on a no less than a quarterly basis, and will provide sign-in sheets to the board on all trainings completed. This was kind of a carryover, but it was Business Solutions controls all the contact information with the Orange County businesses. No information is shared with the AJCC operator. Should contact between AJCC operator and Orange County businesses happen, we will forward information to Business Solutions for them to make the assessment and see if a partnership with said business is viable.
Can I make a comment? So Brandon, a lot of this has absolutely nothing to do with the continuous improvement opportunity. So let me just kind of highlight why. Very first bullet is about regional economy, labor market conditions, and business talent supply chains. Your response back is you've not been trained on ONET and iTrain. iTrain has absolutely nothing to do with that. iTrain is a system that we use to put people in ITAs. You do not administer ITAs, nor do you do Title I career services. So there would be no need to train you on that system or platform. That's one. So that's, it feels like there was a bunch of stuff written on here, but no thought into, am I actually answering the question or the concern that the board addressed? And I caution again, you writing things on here that don't align with that, because it's going to open the door for EDD and DOL to audit your work. In terms of ONET, again, I'm not really sure. I mean, I guess if you wanted to understand occupational codes and how to, I don't know what ONET has to do with you doing regional economy, labor market information. Like, I literally don't understand how that benefits you. Targeted sectors and in-demand industries. So for example, in Orange County, our in-demand industries are advanced manufacturing, healthcare, information technology. Those are our in-demand industries. So knowing that and understanding what those are make a lot more sense than you asking me for training on ONET and iTrain. I feel like there's answers, but not thought into what you were saying, because it doesn't align.
I think we need to go back to what was, when you bid to get this work from the county, what was the request for services? And what did you commit? What did you contractually commit to provide? And that's what should be in here. And a plan should include the schedule, the way you're going to do it, more of the tactics, what the schedule is, percentage complete by certain milestone dates, communication plan.
So one more thing. So the second bullet was basically currently a survey sent out to businesses by the Orange County Workforce Development Board, and there's no evidence that results are shared with the AJCC. So the answer is you work together to get the results of the business surveys. That would have been the answer. But like your answers don't align with what the actual opportunity, improvement opportunity was. Opportunity is for us to work together so you get the results. And Brandon, I understand you inherited. So for those of y'all that weren't on the call last night or last time, Brandon wasn't the operator. He is a new operator.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Are there any other questions or concerns about this section before we move on?
I will be taking a heavy look at this section to reevaluate it, because this was I believe I pointed out a heavy carryover from the last one. So let me take a look at it and see what I can do. And basing it upon what we have contractually obligated to do and what we said we would do and everything, let me kind of cross-reference it with that and see what adjustments I can make to make it better.
Okay. All right. We're going to move to item six because I know I'm running out of time.
Yeah, so, we've invested close to an hour on this, so I think we need to move forward.
Okay. So do we want to have Brandon continue or do we want, because I at some point I got to send this into the state. Do we want to have Brandon go back and revisit this and then look at this in November? Or do we want to continue on to give with this with Brandon? How would you like to handle it, Barbara?
I think it's clear it's not ready to move up to the board.
Okay.
I asked the rest of the committee. That's my opinion. I don't think it's ready to move up to the board. And I asked the other members of the committee for their opinions.
I agree with you. I think it needs more work done before we take it up to the full board.
Agree.
Okay.
Agreed.
So I think Brandon's probably hearing some common themes and patterns of our comments. And he's going to go back and look at what the contract obligates them to provide and work on it. So considering we have about another hour to go in the rest of the agenda, I would recommend that we move on.
Okay.
Brandon, is there anything more you need from us?
No. I will work on these because... let me cross-reference this with our contract and let me try to make this a little more, we increased it from what was provided last time. There are points missing that are not presented. So let me go over this and then let me resubmit it to you guys.
Okay. Great. I'd just like to also add, we got looped into this, at least I did a little bit late, so I can also support, Brandon. I've been taking some notes throughout this and, Barbara, like you mentioned, some common themes of kind of how we make this connect together from expectation and contract guidance. What are those? What's currently been happening? Where are the areas that can be improved? And what are the expectations and timelines and how do those attach back to the contract guidance? So I appreciate all the feedback. Apologies for dragging this piece out, but I think it's clear on some areas that can be improved and we'll have something in much better shape to send up.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. So does that move us to action item number six?
Yes. All right. So action item number six, every 2 years, we are responsible for updating our MOU and infrastructure agreement for our one-stop center and our affiliate sites. What we did this last year is we really tried to work with the community providers to ensure that everyone is, so to speak, playing in the sandbox. I would like to ask Desiree to promote up Francis to talk about the MOU. And the intent of today's conversation is to review the MOU and infrastructure agreement and vote on it being moved up to the executive committee and then full board for the chair's signature. Oh, one more thing, I'm sorry. It also goes to the Board of Supervisors for approval. I forgot that point. It goes to the Board of Supervisors for approval, and then once the Board of Supervisors approves it, it then goes to the state and DOL.
Thank you, that's helpful.
Sorry about that. All right, Francis, please take over.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. So this is the Orange County Workforce Solutions MOU. So it's a memorandum of agreement between our co-located partners, those are the ones occupying space within the actual one-stop physical location, and then our not co-located partners who are just partners throughout our workforce area who are providing related services. Javier, one of my team members here, has a PowerPoint. He's going to kind of go through kind of like a high level what the MOU is. As Carla mentioned, provided everyone is comfortable with how it currently stands, we'll forward it onto the main board and then onto the Board of Supervisors on September 27th for their review and approval. We have already collected signatures from all our partners. So we have their signature page, they signed off on this, and now I'll turn it over to Javier to share his PowerPoint.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone.
See if we can get started. All right, so we'll jump right into it. I know we're already an hour in, but just a few things. So right, we have to develop an MOU every 2-3 years. This one took a collaboration amongst our department, led by Karma, Francis, and then over 34 partners discussing our MOU. We had, that's right, we can go to the next one. Oh, sorry, stay on here first, a little bit more. So this one will be, this MOU will be effective upon the date signing once it goes to the Board of Supervisors and expire June 30th of 2025. We did add some clause in there where we can revise or go back and revisit on a quarterly basis or a year, depending if we have partners that don't continue with the MOU or leave the center, or if rates and infrastructure go up. All right, Desiree, can you scroll to the next one? And then this is where we started. So this process started way back at the end of March. The first kickoff session was March 29th, and we met weekly. We had four different sessions. Second session was in April 4th, April 11th, and April 18th. And during these meetings, we explained various processes or different sections of the MOU. And we also had, after our fourth meeting, we still had individual meetings with partners that had clarifying questions or had concerns about some of the language in the MOU or certain things that might have not applied to them. And this primarily applied to a lot of our non-co-located partners. There was a lot of questions about cost, what were their requirements and their responsibilities. So Karma, Francis, myself, well, we had several meetings with a lot of our partners individually, in addition to the four that were officially scheduled. The team put everything all together, and then we also used references. We used the public law, the OMB circulars, federal guidance of the TEGL 1716, and then also EDD guidance of the WSD 1812, other WIO MOU for understandings. And then this is where we get into the meat of the MOU. So it is broken down into sections. So the first section is just a quick introduction of our vision, the purpose of the MOU. The system structure will cover, it has a map of all our sites and our affiliate sites, with the comprehensive site being in Garden Grove, a few located in City Drive, which is a Manchester building, a Theo Lacey, then our Orangewood Foundation, the Tustin Shelter, our mobile unit, and our Los Alamitos base. Then the third section is our MOU partners. We have mandated partners, and then we also have additional partners. And then section four highlights what services will be available. It highlights business services, services available to youth, and then also to adult and dislocated workers. And then section five covers the roles and responsibilities of not only the partners, but also of the Workforce Development Board, our staff, and then elected officials as well. And then some of the other ones are smaller sections, but they are important, where we discuss the data sharing, our responsibilities, and we have as an agency and also our partners, and then how we're gonna track referrals and the training available to our partners, and then how do we send that, where we integrate all our partners with our one-stop system. The other one would be the program accessibility. And then it goes out to outreach, the press releases, and how do we dispute resolutions within our own partners. If we don't agree on certain things, how do we resolve that? And then the process for modifying the MOU, termination, and then signatures, again, if there are modifications to the MOU. And then the effective date and the duration of the MOU. And then also for section 12 is our one-stop operating budget. And this is where we highlight what it costs to actually run a whole comprehensive center. And it outlines our utilities, our rent, our cost. And then that is broken down into shared costs per co-located partners. And if you'll see on the section where it has broken down, currently we have seven partners, well now eight in the center. and each one has a shared rate that they have to pay on a monthly basis based on the space they occupy. The next one is the required the partners, the additional partners, and their description of services that they bring to the table and services they offer. Some offer them, our co-located partners are gonna offer that at the one-stop center, and then our non-co-located partners will offer that services at their sites. And then the other one is, right, we have to reallocate the cost. And then the last part, or the last section of the MOU, it includes all the signatures. And we organize those starting from co-located partners to non-co-located. And as of today, we have 34 partners agreeing on to this MOU. And then the last section will be all the exhibits where it has copies of our infrastructure costs, the affiliate sites, and then the allocation based on our rates and billings for the one-stop operator. So I know this one covers quite a bit. So do we have any questions for the sections in the MOU?
Just like kind of jump in on the infrastructure cost, because that's a big piece of it. So there's a cost associated with operating our one-stop centers. All of our partners have the ability to share space in our one-stop centers. This is a collaborative agreement. So all the partners voted on the cost allocation method. So basically that the method they determined they wanted to choose was a based on occupied square footage. So the space inside the one stop that they occupy, they pay that portion of the costs of the one stop center.
Thank you, Francis. All right, Desiree, we can go down to the next slide.
A quick question. Oh, how often do we, I mean, what is the time span for this, for the duration of the MOU?
Every 2 years.
What was that?
It's every 2 years.
So oh, okay. Thank you.
Every 2 years.
Or unless we update it. So
got it.
Barbara, just keep in mind, we're doing this today, but we're about to open the South County location. We'll have to do this again soon.
Okay. But you could replicate some of what you're doing here. I mean, you're not going to start over. You would take this and use it there. Because it looks like this is very well thought through here.
And then our next slide covers a little bit of cost sharing and infrastructure agreement of what's included in the infrastructure and then what are some additional costs to applicable career services and then shared operation costs or services. And then, Desiree, can you scroll to the next one? And then this is the section where Francis was bringing up. We did send out surveys asking partners of how they wanted to identify and pay for their share. And it was determined that they wanted to pay based on square footage and the proportional units of the center. And Desiree, can we go to the next one? And this one is just more informational, but every year we have to notify, or when we are developing the MOU, we have to notify the state by April 1 if we have successfully come to an agreement with all our partners. We don't have to have it all executed, but we have to at least let them notify that we don't have anybody contesting or that nobody wants to pay their fair share. In the case where that error did happen and we didn't have a mutual agreement, a consensus among all partners, then the EDD or the governor will step in and assist with either mediating or determining what percent each co-located partner is gonna pay into the infrastructure. All right, any questions?
Any pushback from the partners? Any common, concerns from the partners?
So we didn't have any pushback. We did allow all our partners had time to review the MOU and suggest edits, red lines, right. Clarifying questions. And that's where a lot of our time also went into having individual meetings or follow-up calls with some of our partners. But overall, I think it went a little smoother than we anticipated, mm-hmm. just considering how many partners did agree to sign on to the MOU.
I will second that. Javier did phenomenal and Karma. I mean, to get all of us to agree that was a pretty darn good work.
Any other comments from the committee? Sounds good. So do we have a motion to approve moving this forward?
I'm going to ask for a motion to approve with non-substantiated changes, because I see a typos that I need to make.
Right. So do we have a motion to approve with non-substantiated changes, edits?
I'll make that motion.
Mason.
A second.
I'll go ahead and proceed with the roll call vote. Rob Claudio is absent. Steve Curiel seconded the motion. Mike Daniel.
Approve.
Chris Horton motioned. Barbara Mason.
Yay.
Gary Mackin, absent. Carlos Aragon.
Approve.
Michael Ruin. And Brinell Tumor Bias.
Approved.
And that is majority chair.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, we're at 2:00. We have 1 hour more, and we're ready to move from the action items into the information section.
I'm going to ask staff to only give a 1-minute overview because we want to get through this and make sure that we have time to talk about discussion items.
So
Desiree, with that said, for the American Works One-Stop Operator quarter four performance, I'm going to highlight where it is. I hope that board members had an opportunity to review this in advance of today's meeting so that if you had any questions that we can address it. Francis, I don't know if you want to give an overview of this, but essentially this is the fourth quarter report. As you know, the contract for the one-stop operator is year by year. The fourth quarter was the last quarter of last year's contract. Can we make that a little bit bigger? Because I can't see it.
Yeah, it is small. That's much better.
Okay. So there is a balance left on that contract of $192,223.97 unspent based off of this report. In terms of the visitors for the year, the total amount of visitors for first time is 2,940 for the year. Virtual trainings, 1,304 people participated in virtual trainings for the year. And then for on-site training, 469 people participated in on-site trainings for the entire year. Any questions or concerns? Okay, then let's get to the next one. We're going to go to Managed Care Solutions, fourth quarter report. I think that's on page. It's there.
226.
Yeah, it's a lot of pages. I'm sorry. Thank you. So for the Managed Care Solutions contract, that contract technically ended in the end of the year. However, we extended it for a month to help with the transition with the new provider. So as a reminder, MCS, their total three-year contract with us ended in June, but we extended their contract for, I believe, 60 days to help with the transition to the new provider, which is Career Teams. So our next board meeting will definitely be, at the full board meeting, we'll be meeting Career Teams and having a conversation. I apologize that I didn't make sure that they were here today. But I do want you to meet them and engage with them in a conversation in regards to the programs and services that they plan to offer our community. For MCS, for that last quarter, for the last quarter of the year, for the Adopt North contract, they had 187,914, 11 left on that contract. The year-to-date numbers are off to the right. So they had new enrollments, 240 out of the 400 we contracted them to provide. Any questions about this table or any information provided here? Okay, I'm going to move to the next one. For their South Adopt contract, page. The remaining balance was 167,420. for their contract. They were contracted to provide 400 new enrollments. However, at the end of the year, they had 188. Questions or concerns about this? We'll move on. Okay, move along. All right. For the dislocated worker contract for North, the imbalance, they had 160,230.17 remaining. They were contracted to serve 600 dislocated workers. Year to date, they served 113. Scroll down. All right, and then for the South dislocated workers, they had a remaining balance of 211,914. They were contracted to serve 600 new enrollments. They served 83.
Why are the numbers so low, if I could ask?
Well, we can bring MCS on the call if you'd like to ask why their numbers are so low. Over the entire year, the question was why are the numbers so low? And some of the answers that this committee received was, people are not coming in as a result of the pandemic. I don't know. You know what? I think it's better. Let's see. Are they on the call to answer that question? Okay.
And then Karma.
I was just going to ask. Go for it, Chris. I was just going to ask, is this why we've changed the service provider?
No, we changed service providers because there was a procurement process and a new provider won. However, yes, there were concerns addressed over the last couple of years about the performance of this provider. As we well know, the pandemic played a major role in their ability to provide services. So the answer in theory is no, we had a procurement and a new provider won. Yeah.
But the numbers may have played a role in that.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you.
And then Mike, you had a question?
Yeah, the balance of funds, do you have to give those back to the state? Do you get to roll them over? I mean, is it lost for the county?
Yes. So here's how it works. So every year we get a pot of money, and that pot of money has a 2-year time frame on it. And what we do is first in, first out. So what we typically do with service providers, we contract with them to give the oldest money to them first so that they don't where we're giving money back. And then any of the new money, we kind of lightly add that to the second half of the contract, so to speak, so that we're not in that position. However, there are times when the service providers are so far, like the gap is so big that we do end up having to give money back. And as a result of that, what happens is that our funding is cut. So for example, maybe I got $10 million last year, I may now get $8 million this year because I wasn't able to spend it all. Keep in mind that let's say that the service provider is doing really well and that they're running out of money. I can always go to the state and ask for more money. So if the service providers do pick up, our performance increases in terms of the number of people we're providing services to, we can ask the state for more money. However, when they're making funding allocations, if they see a pattern of us giving money back, that does play a role in how much money we get future allocations.
That's what I thought. We're in the same boat. So yeah.
Yep.
Has the county's total budget gone down over the last couple of years because of this?
Well, because of the pandemic, not as much as you would think that it would, but it does also impact our ability to go after grants too. So for example, if I'm going to write a grant and say that I'm able to provide services, I got to be able to prove that. And I can't do that if my numbers are low.
Okay, thank you.
All right. I think Gloria is on the call to answer Chris's question.
I'm sorry, Karma, is that G. Gaitan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry.
It's okay, I'll promote her. Gloria, if you're on the call, you need to accept the invite to promote to panelists.
Oh, I'm sorry. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Okay, so there was a question, I understand. I apologize. I just got on a little while ago.
Yeah, so we were going over the numbers, the contracted goal versus year to date numbers. And my question was why the numbers were so low from location to location.
Okay, let me just, so one of the biggest issues that we had was the pandemic. A lot of people were not walking through the doors. And the south location, we had a very hard time because there was no south location. So people were having a difficult time driving over to the north. So the numbers really were very low for the north area. Now that I know we've been promised that there was gonna be a new location opening up every time, and it kept postponing. So the numbers did not increase because we were not out in the, and that's a lot of the times that the clients would, or participants would let us know the feedback that it was too far for them to travel this way. Numbers also, I mean, a lot of people, when they are dislocated, want to do training. And at one point, county had changed the policy that we had to include the dislocated workers. We had to include the spouse's income, which made them over income, which they did not qualify for training. A lot of them basically just walked out and said, you know, we're just going to go ahead and go somewhere else. So, I mean, it was just a lot of different issues that occurred, but basically it was the pandemic and the north location, the south location not being open.
So then people that were close to the south location that never opened would go to the north location.
Yes.
So was one of the questions you had for them, what area they're coming from? Is that how you ended up with 71 enrollments in the south?
We look at their addresses, and if they belong to the south, we enroll them under the south. If they are someone in the north, then they get enrolled under the north contract.
Okay. And when is the south location? Is it open, or when is it due to be open?
That's the question for Karma. When is the south going to be open?
So the board of supervisors signed the lease for the south location, and I believe that the expectation is to have it up by, I want to say January.
January 2nd.
Is it January 2nd? Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, you're muted, Karma.
Sorry about that. Are we ready to move to the next item on the agenda?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Barbara, if that's okay, we're going to move over to the Veteran Employment and Training Program. Hey, Eric, I need you to give a high-level overview. We can't go in the beat.
Okay, I got 1 minute. Good afternoon. Thank you. I'm going to be presenting the fifth quarter program year performance. During this report period, we have identified areas where we see gains are in enrollments, entered employment, and average earnings. And areas that require improvements are in our soft skills registration and occupational skills training, which has slowed as most participants are seeking immediate support with connectivity to employers seeking to hire veterans for jobs for right now. Work-based learning and certificate attainments are other areas that VEEP staff has dedicated a hard focus to boost our participant, boost participation. Slide down, next slide.
Eric, hold on. I want to highlight something to this board. So just for those board members who are new, we received this grant. Eric, when did you get this grant?
We were awarded the grant April 1st of 2021.
So by June 30th of 2022, you now have how many enrollments?
According to this, we have 116. Our actual numbers right now through July is 122. So enrollment-wise, we are on track. Based on what we said we were going to do, we're far exceeding our enrollments, probably at about 115%.
That's great. This area has consistently been very good.
Well, thank you. Can I get some time back?
Yeah, you get your minute back.
All right. Thank you. This fifth quarter of the program year shows VEEP enrolled 40 new participants into the program, keeping on its track for meeting our enrollment performance measures, currently steady at 83%. Basic and individualized career services continue to be key interests for VEEP participants seeking career planning, interviewing, and upskills training to address barriers that our participants are experiencing in this post-pandemic period. Next slide down. To assist participants with career navigation, we have provided additional guidance to participants' use and understanding of labor market trends as well as industry sector demand to gauge potential career pathways. During this period, we have had several participants desire for jobs right now. So where we're definitely strong is getting them placed with those employers who are seeking to hire veterans. At the same time, talking to the veterans about additional career planning. The other enhancements is getting to veterans to employers are paying well above self-sufficiency wage, which is averaging now at $27 an hour. Coupled with our job coaching, if we can go down a bit, job search assistance, VEEP staff actively collaborates with OC Business Solutions for enhancing our work-based learning opportunities, as well as our Jobs for Veterans Day grant, disabled veterans outreach program coordinators, and our local veterans employment reps to leverage career support. Participant outreach and engagement opportunities are centered at Joint Forces Training Base Los Alamitos. To address the needs of returning deployments, we have developed strategic partnerships with Transition Assistant Advisors, the Military and Family Readiness Center. We are co-located at Camp Pendleton several days a week. So we're trying to get to those folks in South County who are actually actively on base or transitioning out of service. Our local colleges, such as Santa Ana Community College, Orange Coast College, and Coastline have been actively engaged to provide VEEP activities on the campuses themselves for those students who are looking to build their employment skills as well as who are matriculating. Our co-location at the Workforce Solutions Center, the one-stop Los Alamitos, has strengthened our project partnerships for immediate access to participants as determined by our 65 combined referrals made by our partners. I think our partnerships and that capacity building has definitely contributed to our growth and enrollments. Additional is assets that attribute to our enrollments intake and assessing participants is due to our mobility at various partner locations, opportunities to connect participants to other types of services offered by partner agencies to assist with addressing barriers to employment. There's just been two of us on this grant for this whole period, and we're doing it all. We're trying to get there to make sure people have access. Co-enrollments is a primary focus for VEEP. We currently have 23 participants co-enrolled with our WIOA partner. Many of our participants have a desire to use benefits that they've earned through the VA initially on their career pathways, mostly due to the ability to obtain the housing allowance and stipend that the VA has offered, which is at about $3,000 a month right now, as long as they're in training. So that is an attractive thing that we are competing against, but also still providing opportunities for upskills development. System changes, next slide, please, down to system changes. So system changes, we experienced developing new access points for those with significant barriers to employment, such as justice involved and homeless veterans, and our military members less likely to pursue service at any of our local community service offices. As I said earlier, next slide, we're working closely with Business Solutions to enhance our work-based learning performance measures as well as apprenticeships. To date, our expenditure reporting, we're at 102%. I think we're well on track with our expenditures. And again, we've been doing this with two individuals through this program year. And I'd encourage you to really take a look at the very next slide for a success story. We continue to have a lot of successes. I wish we can put them all up, mostly to make sure our veterans are competing and passing, surpassing self-sufficiency wages. Again, performing mock interviews, meeting veterans where they are, and addressing those barriers has been a significant part to matching those skills from service as well as their post-service education and training to an employer looking to hire them.
Eric, for this committee, one of the things they've asked for when we're presenting things is looking at where they're placed. So can we go to slide 241 and look at the placements real quick? Just want to highlight that to the committee of where are the veterans being placed at?
Yes. So our industry sectors, in demand, fields, healthcare, we got 5, hospitality, 3, IT, there's 5. I can't say to date, we do have 7. And we have about 6 who are interested in upskills training who actually have access to web design and IT experience from service. Manufacturing being one of those areas, not a lot of our veterans are trying to go into manufacturing, but we do have a partner through Business Solutions that are looking to hire a lot of our veterans. Those other sectors, we are seeing an uptick in entrepreneurship development. So we're trying to definitely to connect our veterans to make sure they're with the SBDC and engaging with some upskills training in those areas that they need to have a successful business. And of course.
One last thing is I just want to highlight the median hourly wage, because as you know, our goal is to support livable wages for the community. And as we've talked in the past, that it's about like $23.45 or $24 an hour, something around that is a livable wage in Orange County. And so the VEEP program is, their median right now is $31.13. So we're doing pretty good in getting veterans placed in wages that help them survive in Orange County.
Absolutely.
And Eric, you took more than a minute.
I was trying to talk fast. But thank you all.
Concerns for the board members on the VEEP program? Barbara, you're on mute.
Barbara, you're on mute.
Thank you for telling me. I think it's a great presentation, and thank you for highlighting those areas that we're trying to, those growth business sectors we're trying to target.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, great job.
Very impressive.
Can I add one thing? Other thing?
You're at 224. I got all right. So I want to move on because Barbara's got a hard stop at 3, and I just want to make sure we cover everything that we need to, and especially some of these updates. So then if Barbara, if you're okay, I want to move to the next item, which is the Department of Labor Career Grant. And Francis, if you just want to give them a quick update of where we are.
We'll just stay with the grant. So we just brought on new staff. We're currently working on the contracts to develop a LMS system, which is a learning management system, basically a virtual one-stop system to assist. We have a recruitment going for 2 additional support staff. And we have a meeting with our workforce region partners, Santa Ana and Anaheim, to also bring them onto the mix. So we're going to have a good, strong network referral process, hopefully to start providing actual program services come September.
Any questions?
No, thank you.
So the next item is the customer service feedback. I don't know if the board members had an opportunity to kind of skim through it. If you have questions, let us know. I'm not going to go through every slide because, again, I'm trying to save us time and get through the rest of the material. So just high level, I don't know if we want to just go to the first page. So there were 11,327 services identified. This is where the individual said that they received services from our system, and the survey results are based on the information obtained from these reports. So if you have a moment to look over it, if you have any questions for us, please send us an email and we will be able to provide you more information on what was reported and why. Are you okay if we move on? Or are there any questions about this?
It looks straightforward.
Okay. And then for the next report, Desiree?
Although I am glad to see it included virtual participants as well.
So the other report or survey that we sent out is survey results from partners. So we asked all of our partners in our workforce system to let us know how are we doing as a workforce system? How is our operator doing in terms of providing services? So these are the responses from that. Again, if you guys have any questions or concerns, send us an email. We'll answer them for you. But this survey is based on the partners' experience with our one-stop system and how well are we doing.
Seems like we're getting more responses, so that's good.
I agree. But based on the responses, there's some areas that we need to work on.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then the next item is the 211 project. I'm sorry, Maggie, I'll just steal your thunder. We're still working with 211. In fact, we had a meeting with them yesterday to identify a potential either a work experience project or apprenticeship project. They're expanding their call center services to, they're looking to expand their call center services to work with an organization that offers the 211 service 24/7. And so what we're looking to do is offer that work experience after hours with them. So we are still working with 211. We're still creating that employment opportunity for our job seekers. For the new board members, what I'm talking about is we have a partnership with 211 Orange County to help their call center. So we use our participants who don't have work experience or may not have enough work experience. We partner with them to allow them to work for 211 so they can gain skills that make them more marketable when they're trying to find an actual unsubsidized employment opportunity. And so each board meeting, we just kind of highlight where we are with that relationship, how many people are being served and what are the outcomes. And so we're still working with them. We're still developing a pipeline and we're looking to expand it to offer more opportunities to youth after hours. For the V program, you heard Eric give the overview. I feel bad because Anthony has prepared a wonderful presentation. It's really, really good. And I did this the last time we met and we didn't get to go over it. I don't know if Anthony can get this presentation done in 3 minutes. If he can, I'll invite him to speak. But if he can't, then I'll wait to the next board meeting for him to do it because I really want to make sure we cover everything.
I don't see Anthony.
Oh, that's right. He's out of the office today. So you know what? We'll just move this one to the next board meeting. I forgot he was out. I apologize. So for the veteran employment.
Are you moving it to the board meeting or the next committee meeting?
The next committee meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a wonderful presentation that he did on the VEEP services. It really is good. Okay. And for the regional initiatives, I've asked Annette Kelly Whittle to present on that. I do need to give her space to talk about what we're doing as a region. Mm-hmm. Annette, you're on mute.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. The boards met on August 21st. That is all three workforce development boards in Orange County, which make up the Orange Regional Planning Units, that's Santa Ana, Anaheim, and Orange County. David Schinder facilitated the meeting, and we basically went through some strategic planning work. And one of the things that we did was there are four regional indicators that the state wants us to pick from, which you see here to the left. The region has a process to communicate industry workforce needs to supply side partners. The region has policies supporting equity and strives to improve job quality. There are shared target populations of emphasis, or it deploys shared pooled resources to provide services, training, and education to meet the target population needs. Despite the fact that we do a lot of this work anyway, the state is really wanting us to pick one of these indicators, establish a baseline, and start tracking, developing tracking mechanisms and outcomes that we want to reach, which if you look for here under indicator A on the right side of the slide there, the two outcomes are region has developed benchmarks and measurements to track improvement in a number of individuals placed in jobs. That align with the sectors and occupations emphasized in the regional plan, which is our manufacturing, healthcare, information technology, and hospitality and tourism. And then outcome two, region has developed benchmarks and methods to track workforce partner professional development training on priority sectors and industry workforce needs. So indicator A, I should back up and say that that is the one that was chosen by the board members that were in attendance. So this will be the one that we will focus our tracking on. I don't want to make it seem like we don't do these other things that are here on the left-hand side of this. I will just ask, let everyone know that a lot of this has to do really with our industry sector partnerships, which we have relaunched, and we really need the board's support to help us to get businesses to these meetings, to have strong regional sector planning meetings versus a bunch of sector planning meetings amongst all of our partners. So we're working closely with our education partners and so forth to try to get them to really acknowledge and to support just regional industry sector partnerships. Okay. You can go to the next slide. Thank you. So these are possible measure outcomes, which are just things that we could measure that would support this indicator. So percentage of individuals who served who will attain employment-related training, distribution of job placement that align to industry sectors, identification of top sectors and occupations that provide quality jobs, percentage of frontline staff participating in training that address the needs, and then percentage of professional development participants. Okay, and so then other kind of regional initiatives that are going on, and let me just back up and say, on the strategic board meeting, the plan is to have two of these annually, so one in July, and then the next one will actually be in January. So the first thing that we have coming up, which you should have already on your calendars, is October 6th, is a 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. virtual training, which will focus on, it's a board training that will focus on WIOA, what board responsibilities are, performance management of the WIOA programs, and just basically an overview for any new board members or existing board members who want to take advantage of that. So that will be October 6th. The regional and local plan two-year modification process is going to be starting basically now. The draft directive is closed for comment. We don't have the exact final, but if we wait for that, we'll be behind the curve. So we are starting now, and we will be kicking off that process September 1st with community stakeholder meetings. And then between October 1st and December 15th throughout, there'll be approximately four meetings that will be online and in person that are identifying particular stakeholders in the community that need to attend those meetings. And then the plan will need to be pretty much completed by January the 25th, which is the meeting that we're going to have another regional board meeting. So that plan will go before you guys at that point in time for review. And then we will open it up for comment for 30-day period. And then March 31st, it will need to be submitted to the state. Okay, so that's kind of a rough plan of getting that going. David Schinder will be facilitating those community meetings and this next regional board meeting also. We launched our industry sector meetings in June, and we will have our next meetings in September. We are focusing on healthcare and manufacturing. We did cancel information technology just because we didn't have enough businesses really at the table to make that one fly. So our focus really is going to be on these two sectors and really trying to get more businesses at these sector meetings and make these very strong. Once we kind of have that blueprint down, have those going, show some wins, be able to showcase some wins, we're going to be able to try to get that information technology one going. And then potentially at some point in time, we might go back to the hospitality industry also. We have a regional website that we're going to be working on with copy and design shortly coming up. We'll hopefully within the next couple of months that will contract will be finalized, and we can kind of start developing a regional image that just kind of brings some cohesiveness amongst the workforce development boards so that we can go out and promote the region as well as with our partners, adding our partners to that. And then regional grants. We did get notification that we did not receive the Good Jobs grant. You guys might have received the email in regards to that. There were two entities in California that received them. That was the Community College Foundation and Fresno Economic Development Department. So there was 519 applications nationwide. They've awarded approximately 30 grants, so highly competitive, but hopefully we can take some of the work that we did with that and kind of move it forward with different funding, as well as look at different grant opportunities that we can kind of use to support those initiatives. The Regional Equity and Recovery Partnership grant was just awarded for $1.3 million. This is the funding that really supports the regional organizer role, which is my role. So there's 15 of those throughout the state of California for the 15 regional planning units. In previous years, it was called the Regional Implementation Grant, and that grant has now become the Regional Equity and Recovery Partnership Grant. And what they've done is they've made it a partnership grant with our community college district. So it required us to have a more formalized partnership and go into this grant application collectively with them. So the $1.3 million is really about the system design and kind of the partnership part of it. And then there were projects that we submitted as a part of this grant that will be awarded under the chancellor's office. So we do not know which ones of those projects have been awarded yet, but it's supposed to go to the Board of Governors in September. So hopefully we will know at that time which projects were awarded for our region. There was $10 million that was allocated to that across the California. And then the Prison to Employment Grant, that was another grant. We submitted it on August the 1st. Previously, Santa Ana took the lead on that regional grant, and they resubmitted that one also August 1st. So hopefully we'll get that one. And that is all I have. Thank you.
Annette, thank you. That was very good. I am concerned. You said you couldn't move forward with the IT because you didn't have enough businesses engaged. Is that something the board needs to help with? Because that is definitely one of our top strategic areas for growth.
Definitely is something that we love to have the board's help with in getting businesses to these industry sector meetings. And there's multiple reasons. It's not just an Annette thing, right? It is
a
board-driven initiative, as well as it should be kind of with our partners, our education partners, and other entities that convene businesses, right? We all need to kind of be on the same page when we talk about these industry sector convenings, because what I see is multiple organizations doing convenings, even though collectively we say we want to do this together, they're still doing their own convenings. And then when I go to those meetings, they're not very strong either. You know, they have three employers and we have three employers. This one has, you know, so really we have to get on the same page as far as we're going to do this as a region. We're going to move forward in having strong sector partnership meetings and work collectively to do that.
Yeah, collaborate and align our efforts.
Yes. And so we do have a plan around this Regional Equity and Recovery grant with working with our CWA, which is the California Workforce Association, Bob Lanter. They're going to provide some kind of technical assistance, but they're going to help us bring together, again, those community partners. And we're going to do it around a launch around this Regional Equity and Recovery Partnership and try and get him to communicate the importance of it. And also try to educate a little bit on how that could be done, because community colleges tend to do it a little bit differently. It is more of a advisory. So the businesses come annually and they say, hey, this is what, you know, what do you think about this? And they give their input and then they go away. And then next year they call them again, right? So the idea with industry regional sector partnerships, so it is a partnership with business. We are constantly working with them. There may be work groups that really are addressing regional issues that affect competitiveness and also talent pipelines, so that you can move the industry forward as a whole to make sure that it's competitive in there. And so really understanding that it's not a one and done. You know, it is an ongoing thing, you know, and as far as working with our education partners on how we might tailor curriculum to address some of the needs that or deficiencies that business may see of students coming out, as well as addressing how do we serve individuals who maybe are from underrepresented communities where the times don't work, or being able to structure programming differently. So there's a lot that goes into it, but it is an ongoing partnership that we need with businesses, and definitely need the help of the board to make sure that we can tap into those connections that you may have that can help get those businesses to the table.
Thank you for that background. That's helpful. I think, you know, the board is a resource and we should elevate our ask it for some help.
Yeah, you know, for me, just sorry I joined the meeting late. I was coming back from another appointment, but I made it. I brought this up, you know, with prior iterations of the board, because we always seem to be missing this element in this industry. Yet, when I look at our reports that show the top 10 occupations and the top employers, there's like I always pick Irvine because I know there's a lot of the technological companies there, but five of the top occupations all are computer related. Yeah. And for advertisements that they post, our top employers, you know, Blizzard Entertainment, you know, big employer with lots of job openings. Ingram Micro, I think we do some work with them. CoreLogic, possibly. But we do have some names, you know, affiliated with some of the reports. So maybe some of our business service staff folks can also do some groundwork in trying to reach out to them since they already are listing jobs in our region. But yeah, we've always seemed to be deficient in this area. And yet we do advertise and have a lot of job openings for folks in this sector.
That's true. I mean, there's no question. It's clear this is the growth area and we just seem to have this gap that we don't close. So it seems like an area we need to dig a little deeper.
That'd be great. Yeah. And then, just to add an additional too, I participated in that regional meeting. I thought it was well done because it's been a long time in coming, I'm sure. It'd be nice to have more participation from board members at the next meeting to get more of the input and your voices heard. It was good to see some of the other folks from the other boards and some of those employers there. But with enough time and anticipation, hopefully you can plug it into your calendar to participate in the next one.
Mm-hmm. So that's January 25th.
Yes.
Annette, do we have a calendar to give to the board? Can we get that sent out to them?
It should be attached to the account. Diana sent it out.
No, not the Outlook invitation, but like an actual calendar for the year without all the...
Yeah, she sent it with the announcement.
Okay.
It's in the pack?
When she sent out the October 6th, she sent it out. I gave her the calendar that listed the different events.
Let's go ahead and send it again, okay. Just by itself in an email, just so they have that, because I think that if it's tied, like if it's amongst other things that might be overlooked.
Mm-hmm. True.
Are there any other questions or concerns before we move on?
No, good presentation.
Okay, so I know that we have Rhonda, but I'm going to give a high level overview of Rhonda's section for her. If we could skip to page 304, just want to highlight the hiring initiatives that Rhonda's done this last quarter. She's had multiple hiring events, and what we call a hiring event is where she has an actual career fair or job fair specifically for one employer. And so she's had multiple of those, as you can see on this page, in the One Stop Center during that quarter. And these are the attendees that showed up. I know that Rhonda does a lot of outreach in terms of sending out information to all the partners in the One Stop Center and all the participants in the One Stop Center, but we've received low turnout for some of these. Now, I am happy to say that some of the ones from this quarter that she's working on right now have phenomenal numbers, and I can't wait for us to report those out. She's got some really good numbers, like 134 people have won. So I'm really excited about what's happening this quarter, but in the previous quarters, there were some challenges, and I just want to highlight that. In addition to that, Rhonda has a report on the next page, 305. Employers with 50 openings, these are some of her, the hiring events and the number of opportunities that are available through these employers. And then for her next quarter, which is now, I think these numbers have actually increased from what where she started, where she had 5 to 10 diverse employers and then 1 to 2 per month. I'm pretty sure it's more than that right now, simply because they have been busy. They are working with organizations right now, like Disney, Caltrans, Parker Aerospace, and Glidewell. And there are a couple of new employers that have come to the table that Rhonda is working with. In addition to that, Rhonda is currently working on a job fair. Yesterday, an email went out to the community for businesses and job seekers for an upcoming job fair on October 19th. I will make sure that the board members get a copy of that so that you can share it with your network. But we are looking for employers who are hiring, and we are definitely looking to make sure this information gets in the hands of job seekers. If we scroll down to the next page, Rhonda is also working on hiring work experiences with community organizations. I mentioned earlier, she's still working with 2110C and they're looking to expand that. She's also created a work experience with the Greater Irvine Chamber of Commerce. I'm hoping that next quarter we'll be able to report out how well that's going. And then she's working with a work experience opportunity with the Ria Pizzeria. So hopefully the next quarter, she'll have a few more than that, because I know that she's working on some more this quarter, but she's definitely been in the weeds, her and her team, really creating work experiences. The next page, her OJT pipeline, Rhonda's still creating on-the-job training opportunities. As you may be aware, what Rhonda and her team does is they go out and create these opportunities with employers, and then they feed this information back to the system, meaning that they notify our Title I career service provider and our youth provider that these OJT opportunities exist and go through their pipeline of participants looking for opportunities and identify some that might be a good fit for these. The good thing about these OJT is that the employer is incentivized to work with us. The job seeker is presented an opportunity at about a livable wage or more. So we love when Rhonda creates OJTs. We've also expanded our OJT opportunities to workforce assistance outside of us, meaning that if we don't have a participant that to offer this opportunity to, we also reach out to LA and San Diego and Riverside to see if they have participants that may be interested in these work opportunities. Next page.
Oh, I'm sorry, quick question. On that slide, it says like the bottom one, after completion of 800 training hours. So does that mean the employee gets hired in at a wage lower than 25, and then after the 800 training hours, they get to 25, or?
Rhonda? So this OJTs, the participant is hired by the business. So they are their employee. This is $25 an hour from the start. And they have decided, they were so impressed with her in the interview. After 90 days, they're going to take a look at her performance and potentially give her a raise during the on-the-job training, so she could make more than $25 an hour by the end of the training. So probably something along the lines of $27.50 for the remainder of the OJT. So she's currently making $25, and by the end of it, she could potentially be making more. Good incentive for her to do her best.
So what is the after completion of 800 training hours? What is that?
Based on that, I'm sorry, Chris. So that's based on the position. So the more kind of complex the position, the longer it takes to get somebody trained so that they're functioning in the role. So if you have an admin role, it's not going to take as long for a managerial role for someone to train. This is a very robust on-the-job training. Our usual hours, we usually see more often 480 hours, so almost half of this, right, for a typical on-the-job training. So to have a $25 plus an hour on-the-job training for 800 hours is fantastic. And this individual is thrilled because they've not made that kind of wage before in their career. They are someone who's come from a food background and very excited that they're going to be getting certifications and a lot of training as a result of this opportunity.
Perfect. Thank you for that.
Cool. All right. I'm going to take over for being you, Rhonda.
I'm not going to go through all of these because I'm running out of time, but what I want to do is just, I wanted to do is just highlight what Rhonda and her team have been working on, and they're continuously making progress. If you have any questions or concerns about any of the opportunities or any of the work experiences Rhonda's created, please reach out to her and her team and they will answer any of your questions. If you know of anyone who's looking to hire, please connect them with Rhonda. Even if your company's hiring, please connect them with Rhonda.
Will do. Thank you.
All right. Next item. I'm going to skip some things if that's okay, because we've got about 10 minutes left. So the locations, as you heard, we're looking to expand to a new site in Brea. More to come on that one. The goal is to have that one open in February. We're working really hard with County Real Estate to get that location going. The virtual one-stop, Francis is working feverishly to get the virtual one-stop up and going. We've had some hiccups along the way, but hopefully we will have a virtual one-stop soon. The South County location, Francis just shared with you, we hope to have that location open on January 2nd. And then those are the other locations. Are there any questions or concerns about the locations before I move on to the next section?
No.
All right. The Business Economic Recovery Call Center. I'm going to skip that one if you guys are okay with it. They're taking a lot of calls and most of the calls are about the micro business grant. So right now we still have that micro business grant opportunity available for marginalized communities where we're giving out grants. $500,000 available. So if you know of any micro businesses or mom and pop businesses, Uber drivers, Lyft drivers, they qualify. If you know of anyone that may qualify as a micro business, please share this information. And if you're not sure if they qualify, give us a call. We'd be happy to go down that path and evaluate whether or not they would be eligible. Okay. All right. The next item on the list is our grants updates. So I'm just going to go down to the bottom page and talk about where we are with a few of them. So the very first one was the Good Jobs Challenge. And that just shared with you, we did not win that grant. So we're going to take that one off of there. But I needed to give you guys an update. The Summer Training Employment Grant, the STEPS grant, we did receive the actual contract. So we will be working with Goodwill to recruit and engage with 50 youth who have disabilities and provide them employment opportunities. The RERP grant for $1.3 million, Annette just shared with you that we did in fact win that grant. We expect to receive the money in December. That is going to allow us to do more regional work in partnership with the community colleges. So we'll be able to create more employment training opportunities utilizing the community colleges resources and then our region, which is the Santa Ana, Anaheim, and our workforce board. And then the last grant opportunity on this list is CERF. That stands for the Community Economics Resilience Fund. That grant opportunity was made available through the governor's discretionary fund. As a result of the pandemic, the governor realized that a lot of marginalized communities were left behind when creating jobs and opportunities in communities. And what they want to do is kind of three things. One, they want to create employment opportunities specifically for those individuals who live in marginalized communities or disinvested communities. There are about 11 in Orange County that we identify as disinvested communities. The second thing that they want to do is to address carbon neutral economy or net zero economy. So they want to create employment opportunities that are in that industry and encourage business practices and lifestyles that are carbon neutral and net zero. And then the last thing that they want to do is deal with economic development on a regional level. So deal with issues like human capital, economic development, and neighborhood development, tackling some of those issues using a community-led High Roads Transition Collaborative. So this grant opportunity required that we work together as a community to solve these three issues. We partnered with Rancho Santiago Community College on this grant opportunity. The first part is $5 million. If we receive the $5 million, we'll be able to use that to do planning for implementation grants that have the ability to, or not ability, have funding up to $500 million. So we have the opportunity to apply for funding coming down the pipeline that is up to $500 million in various grants. Those grants could include work-related grants, broadband access, various things. I will tell you that I sat on a call with DOL 2 days ago, DOL is tackling this the same way as a SERP grant, meaning that the grants that they're bringing down the putting down the pipeline all have a component to them that asks us to address disinvested communities and marginalized populations. So know that all the future grants will probably look very similar to the SERP grant. Are there any questions or concerns? I'm trying to quickly give you guys an update on that. We hope to hear back from this grant early September, end of August, early September. We do have a website developed for it if you want to learn more about our initiative. It's called OC Rise. The website is www.ocrise.com. If you're interested in joining the HRTC, please let me know. But more to come on that grant opportunity. And then the last thing, because I got 3 minutes left, I promised you guys that I would give you guys updates on EDD compliance findings and where we are. So as you can see, that compliance observations that were opened up in 2016 through 2018 are still open. We're waiting for EDD to kind of comb through those and resolve them. I'm happy to share with you that all of the audits are for us from 2018 through 2019 and subsequent years in the green, we've had them all completed, resolved. There are no observations or findings. So we're doing a really good job as a board with creating policies and procedures that and course correcting activities of our service providers. And as a result of all of that work, we've had clean findings. The blue represents the fiscal monitoring of our service providers. As you can see, because of the pandemic, they weren't able to go out and do a lot of them. So now they're trying to do them now. So they're trying to get up to date on all of the fiscal monitoring. And then the gray is the program monitoring and compliance audits for our service providers. As you can see that there are some ongoing and some upcoming. So they're scheduling the 2020, 21 and 21-22 with the service providers. Right now, our service providers are responding back to or finalizing the 2019-20. Are there any questions or concerns about any of this? I'm gonna make sure I do this every single quarter.
That would be good.
Just a quick question. So the monitoring that's occurring for like within this past couple of years, I guess it's pending or still ongoing. What happens with your the contract providers that are no longer here? Who is it? The follow-up?
Yeah, so I can tell you that in my past, so for those board members who are not aware of this, I used to do this for the state of Ohio. So one of my jobs was to go out and resolve compliance issues through the state. And so that would happen, Rob. And so at the end of the day, we are responsible. So like if I can't find a service provider, he's shut down for business or she shut down for business, the county is responsible at the end of the day.
Wow.
Yeah, I kind of knew the answer, but I wanted to make sure that the rest of the folks understood that.
Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah, the county's on the hook at the end of the day. And this workforce board, because remember, this workforce board is responsible for oversight, right? And then the county is responsible for the purse, right? So the county at the end of the day is responsible for any financial things that have to be paid back. This workforce board, of course, your advisory board, so you're not going to have to cut a check to the county, but you are responsible for ensuring that we're providing proper oversight.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions? I think I made it by three. All right, if there are no questions, that's it for me for today.
Thank you, we will adjourn.
All right, thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you guys, bye.